it's time to break open God's Word in the Psalms. And today we're looking at Psalm 105. So 105 is right near the end of Book 4, 90 to 106. And these particular Psalms in this section here are typically historical Psalms, going back and showing the history of salvation, God working his plan of salvation through the people of Israel. And so we've already, this is a very long Psalm. We have to break this up into several sections for sure. We've already taken a look at the first 15 verses of Psalm 105. And now we're just going to continue through, see how much we get done, because this, again, this one's really long. We'll see how much we get through today. And of course, we're using the Revised Grail Psalms, which are approved for use in the Mass, translated by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. And so if you have a different version, it's okay. You know, what's the best version? The one that you're going to read, the one where God is speaking to your heart through. That's the best translation to use. All right, so we'll, again, 105 here, and a lot of these 10 Psalms, 100, 101, 102, 103, except for the very end, 108, 109, 110, are attributed to David. The rest of these don't have any attribution, so there's no prescript for these particular Psalms. So we'll just dive in verse 16. So just to set this up a little bit. So the psalmist here is talking about singing the praises of God, remembering God's promises to his people in the past, remembering his covenant relationship of intimate, personal, loving, and life-giving communion that God wants to enter into with everyone as part of his covenant relationship, which of course we know has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ on the cross. So the fullness of covenant love was broken and given to us on the cross by Jesus. And so the psalmist is going back and remembering through the history of Israel and God's interaction with his people how God began to show his promise. All right. And so right before this, we had seen that the psalmist was talking about that God, you know, had blessed his people. He was bringing them through the desert into freedom to the promised land. He did not allow people to oppress them. He talked about Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the forefathers. He's talking about all that. Now, he says, but he called down a famine on the land and broke their staff of bread. He sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, sold as a slave. So you know that story, Joseph's brothers, who Joseph was considered kind of the favorite of the family. And his brothers got jealous. They threw him down a well. And then they didn't want to do that, so they actually sold him into slavery, and then it kind of comes around full circle. So this is actually before the Exodus event. So this is when they first went into what they call the Lamb of Ham, which is the Lamb of Egypt. And then Jacob was a prisoner there, but then the Lord had given him visions to be able to speak to the Pharaoh and interpret his dreams. And so the Pharaoh put him in charge of, you know, part of his kingdom. And it kind of came around full circle. So this is what the psalmist is remembering here. So he sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, sold as a slave. And now talking about Joseph, his feet were weighed down in chains. His neck was bound with iron. Until what he said came to pass, and the word of the Lord proved him true. All right, so that's what I was just summarizing there for you. But what's the lesson in here for us? It says his feet were weighed down. He was imprisoned, and sometimes we are imprisoned by sin. We're imprisoned by our own desires. We're imprisoned by addictions. We're imprisoned by vices, you know. But the word of the Lord will help to set us free, right? Jesus Christ says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that the truth, right, which is Jesus Christ, not an idea, it's Jesus. The truth will set you free. So it's that dynamic encounter with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. We truly encounter him in word and in sacrament. Help us to fight against those vices and all those things that separate us from his love, all those inordinate desires, those desires for things that ultimately never satisfy. The word of the Lord will prove it true. So God's word proves itself, as if the proof is in the pudding. When we live God's word, that word takes hold in our lives, takes hold in our hearts. It begins to form and shape how we think and how we act and what we believe. You know, because that, and in that is the freedom to truly flourish as human beings, to truly multiply our talents so that we can honor God in everything that we do. All right. And it continues in verse 20. Then the king sent orders and released him. The ruler of the people set him free. He made him master of his house and ruler of all his possessions, to instruct his princes from his heart and to teach his elders wisdom. So look at that. Joseph goes from being a slave in a dungeon, right? And remember, there was a time where when he was down there and he was down with another guy, the other guy's like, oh man, I gotta tell the king about all this stuff. The guy gets released and he forgets about Joseph. Yeah. So Joseph had to spend a time even longer down in there until finally he was able to release. And what did God do? God blessed him for his patience, for his endurance during that time of struggle. And now he is giving wisdom to the elders of the court of Pharaoh.
Yeah, and Joseph's story is a prime example of serve where you're at. So whether he was in prison or he was in a place of authority, like he served wherever he was and he was happy to do it. And from my interpretation, as I read the scripture, it sounds like he had a good attitude, didn't seem to bow up and, you know, whatnot. But then when his brothers came back around, there was, you know, a lot of humble pie served, but he did it in the most godly way I think any of us would. I mean, I think that's what we aspire to try to get to, is how do I not let my enemies still get to me, you know? And Joseph's, his story is a great example of, you know, just let it go, serve where you are, and God will take you to what's next.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I mean, he could have responded with the same animosity that his brother showed to him.
Yep.
You know, and in his mind, he would have been justified. Look what they did to me. Yeah. You know, and I'm going to do it now. Look at this. Now they're coming to me. I'm going to do the same thing to them. You know, obviously, he didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
But he could have responded in the same way that he was treated, but he didn't. You know, this is a precursor. I think Joseph here is a precursor to the teaching of Christ. He says, "Love God and love your neighbor yourself." You know, the whole turn the other cheek. Then, if he strikes you, turn the cheek to strike the other. If he takes your cloak, then give him your tunic too, as well. And like, wait a minute, hold on. Yeah. This goes against my nature to want to get revenge.
Sure.
You see, to treat someone the way that I was treated. No, it's about treating someone with respect and merciful love. You know, and that's why I think the big mistake is we have someone that is same-sex attracted or transgender. You know, the first thing we want to do is we want to get angry, we want to despise them, or not even be around, not even talk to them. You know, as opposed to engaging them with love, mercy, and respect, because despite whatever they may be experiencing, they're still a human being made in God's image and likeness. We are called to love all of our brothers and sisters with the love and the heart of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right? And that doesn't mean we accept people's behavior or lifestyle choice decision. I'm not saying that at all. But we have to respect the person. And that's what we're not able to do in the culture, to separate the person from their action.
Yeah.
You see, that's what we need to do.
And if we're either not embracing people with the love of Christ, or we don't embrace them the way that God has called us to, then we are no different than the world.
Yeah, you go.
But we also don't want to compromise our character because someone else chooses not to have any. So those are things that we have to play true to if we are truly men and women of God.
Yeah, and that's a hard line to walk sometimes, man. Yep. You know,
yep.
Because you're saying on one side, okay, here's this person made in God's image and likeness. Then you see all the things on the news, on television about, you know, the story time in the library with the transgender folks and all this kind of stuff, and you know what happened at St. Patrick's Cathedral during that funeral and all. I mean, so all these kinds of things you hear about, you just get angry. Mm-hmm. So you have to wait a minute. So yes, I'm angry at this society accepting all of this, but at the same time, you have a person, a human being standing in front of you. You have to separate out the vitriol for the culture versus the person standing in front of you. That's not easy to do.
Yeah.
You know, those are what God calls us to. It's not easy.
Yeah. I had to get into a frame of mind. There was a period of my life that I had to get into a frame of mind of that when I was standing before a decision or a reaction that I could feel bowing up is to hear God's voice remind me, this is my child. And it doesn't matter what they've done or who they are to me or around me or to the world. I would hope they would have the same thought about me if I was saying or doing something to rile them up, because we are to love his children.
Yep. Again, love. As I always say, we love everyone, but we always don't love their actions.
Right.
And we judge actions. We never judge people.
Right. For more on the Soulful Psalms with Deacon Harold Berg Sivers, check out Beacon of Truth weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and streaming everywhere you listen to podcasts.